ready for some football, baby.
It's a Football Friday with the boss.
I bounce out like a boss.
In the gloss.
So check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that. Sunshine in my pocket.
Good morning, everyone. It is great to be next to you, Carla. Good morning. And you are ready to start this day? You've had some coffee?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Lucky for you. I'm waiting on that. Consider it a gift.
Congratulations to Justin Rose on a great opening day at the Masters.
Wow, -7. He is way ahead of the field. And this has been a tricky Masters. It just seems like so far, just with one day, you see that the golfers are able to control what happens in the air, but not what's happening on the ground.
No.
It's been some crazy stuff once that ball hits. It's pretty exciting.
Well, it's hard to believe the Masters is here, given it was played, just about 5 months ago with the delayed start last year due to COVID.
With much friendlier greens with that weather, you know.
But great to be back there in the height of azalea season. You know, I was there two years ago, I went with your man friend.
Yes, exactly. Aren't you fancy?
To the Masters. And it's such a treat to be there at a beautiful setting, great club. And I was noting all the azaleas, they time the blooming. They make sure they have them in a greenhouse and then put them out on the grounds right during the week. So they're always perfect. Everything about that course, everything about that place is pristine. But it's funny to see this week, you know, the ads for the Masters, they've got that jingle, the song, Georgia, which is interesting to look at the Masters embracing the name, embracing the state of Georgia, when MLB is pulling the All-Star game out of Georgia in light of the voting rights controversy in the state. It's sort of a strange moment to wrap the Georgia flag around your shoulders.
No, you're absolutely right. Georgia, the state, is polarizing right now. So why would you focus the most prestigious tournament in golf around the state? I would find other ways, even if it's the pimento cheese sandwiches, focusing on something else would probably be a little bit better.
I'll go with the pimento cheese sandwich. I'll take that happily. Hey, when we come back, we're going to look at the NFL action of the week. We'll break down the Sam Darnold trade and ask the question, can Carolina finally get Darnold back on track? Matt Rule and Joe Brady will have something to do with that. Next up here on The Boss and the Gloss.
It's a Football Friday with The Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, Carla, I am anticipating that you've been struggling with rust or frozen parts in your motor vehicle.
I resent that.
No, I just think that's the case, but I've got a solution for you. If you've got rust or any issues in your motor vehicle, you need to go buy Freol Deep Penetrating Oil. Freol is your answer. It's industrial strength. Freol spreads deep into rusted or frozen parts, freeing them with the ease. These are things like getting rid of carotid U-bolts, rusted chains and gears. Put Freol on them, and the three-part formula delivers 3 times more lubricant. It takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any penetrating oil to get the job done. Freol is also body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, and it's silicone free. After you give Freol a deep penetrating oil a try, we hope you'll find it, that you'll be pleased. You need to go out and get it. You can get it at AutoZone, O'Reilly, or Napa Auto Parts, and you can get it at select Walmart stores. That's Freol Deep Penetrating Oil. It's your answer.
So we can handle another snowmageddon in Houston. No problem.
We will be ready for that. All right, Sam Darnold, now a Carolina Panther. Now, I know you followed his career closely at USC, and he came out number 3 overall, drafted by the Jets, had some miserable seasons there, did not have a great supporting cast. Is he salvageable? Can he get his career back on track?
He is salvageable, and especially in this situation. He hit a home run by going to Carolina because he's going to be playing for 2 former college coaches in OC Joe Brady and second-year head coach in Matt Rule. Their forte is developing players, teaching players, which is exactly what Darnold needed coming out of USC. And that was part of his draft profile, is that the guy's got, he's got the mental for sure, and he's got the just able to be steely nerved. But through a lot of interceptions, there were some mechanics that could be used, helped. And where does he go? Just like you said, he goes to New York under Todd Bowles, who is a great coach defensively, as we saw what he did with Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl. But he's not going to develop this quarterback. And then they bring in Adam Gase for the last 2 years. So he's really been in a purgatory in New York. And I think that he needs development. I think that these two coaches in both Rhule and Brady, they can really unlock what his full talent is.
Well, Joe Brady, of course, was masterful in his development of Joe Burrow back at LSU.
Remember, 1 year.
Burrow, yes, he came to LSU. He had not done well. They brought him in, and then they turned him into a monster, and he was fantastic. And you can't give Joe Brady all that credit. There was a lot of other pieces there that came together. But Joe Brady did get a lot of the credit. He has background with Sean Payton in New Orleans. And I think he is the perfect antidote for Sam Darnold.
No, I agree with you. And you think about what Joe Brady did with Joe Burrow. You know, Joe Burrow could not get recruited at Ohio State, where his dad played. He was transferred to, after sitting at Ohio State, realizing he's not going to play, transferred to LSU senior year. Not only does he win the national championship, he wins the Heisman, and he's the number one pick in the draft. And he, up until his knee injury with Cincinnati, has been everything as advertised.
So it's interesting. There are a lot of mock drafts that still have the Panthers taking a quarterback with their pick because they're not sure that Sam Darnold's the guy, and they didn't have to give up that much to get him. But I believe Joe Brady, Matt Rhule, I think they all, I just instinctively, I think they think they can fix Sam Darnold. I mean, he was the number one, number three overall pick. Many thought he should have been the number one overall pick that year. Of course, Baker Mayfield went. But Darnold was more the consensus pick. The Browns stepped out and took Mayfield. So I just think the Panthers have found their quarterback, at least one that they believe in for the time being until he proves them otherwise.
Well, and you know what else the Panthers are going to get with Sam Darnold is a guy, you look at how he handled his time in New York, which was absolutely awful, including being mic'd up when he said he was seeing ghosts. I mean, everything that happened to him in New York under those big bright lights was very contentious and not great for him. Did you ever hear him complain? He never threw his players, his coaches, the media, nobody under the bus. He just took what was given to him and he kept on going. That's the kind of leader you want in your locker room, and that's the kind of teammate you want.
Well, and particularly in the last few months, it's been notable that the Jets have clearly been rumored to take a quarterback, and he didn't say anything. I mean, a lot of guys would have said, I'm out, trade me.
Right.
I am upset. Twitter, all the things he could have done, but he just kept his head down, worked on his trade, perfect fit for the Panthers. What this does do, of course, is put the Jets in a position where they are all in, presumably, on Zach Wilson, the number two pick overall, the second pick after a generational quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson. That strikes me as a big risk.
Gosh, I'll tell you what gives me cause to pause about Zach Wilson. Yes, he looks good. Yes, he had a great senior season. But is there any cause to pause for you, David, that he had to compete for the starting job at BYU?
Yeah. And the level of competition he played, there's a real leap of faith here. Now, he looked incredible in the combine. He was flinging the ball over the field. He could roll left, throw right. And he's bigger than he looks. For some reason, when I look at him, he doesn't seem physically that impressive or large. He's not like a Big Ben Roethlisberger, but he is 6'3". I mean, he's a tall guy with a big-time arm.
Yeah, he is. But, you know, out of high school, he was not highly recruited. He was a three-star recruit and not that many offers. He was going to Boise State until, you know, he flipped to BYU. And, you know, he did have some injury issues a little bit. I mean, not a little bit. He had injury issues. And that concerns me a little bit because that was the same case with Carson Wentz, you know, when he played in college.
Yep.
And he went on to have the same injury issues in the pro level at the NFL. So I don't know. With Zach Wilson, I think he sure looks good. I do have a little pause when your breakout season, your great season is your senior season. And he's had some good, you know, he's had some good starts in there and all, but to have to compete for the start as an upperclassman, I don't know that that's number two for me.
Well, the best news for Zach Wilson is that the Jets, both this year and next year, have a lot of draft capital. So they can certainly build some pieces around him, fortify a line, get some offensive weapons, and he will be better positioned for success than Sam Darnold ever was with the Jets.
Oh, and he doesn't have Adam Gase as a head coach.
Right.
That's also a positive. Robert Saleh is amazing.
So one of the fallouts of this trade, Teddy Bridgewater, the starter last year for the Panthers. Looks like the Panthers have given up on Teddy Bridgewater. They've traded for Darnold. And Bridgewater is asked to be traded, asked to look around, and he has that opportunity now. It is interesting. There are lots of teams that still really need a quarterback. I mean, I could cite, look, the Redskins have Fitzpatrick. There's the Patriots, the Broncos, the Steelers, the Bears, the Lions. All those teams really could need an upgrade. And there's Teddy Bridgewater, probably available. Jimmy G may be available. But those are two guys who have some background and something to offer.
That are very good quarterbacks.
Good, but not great.
Not
there's
elite.
A ceiling there, right? They've never shown themselves to be elite. Bridgewater's arm strength probably doesn't wow anybody's. Jimmy G just hasn't been healthy.
Yes, but you look at what Teddy Bridgewater did when he stepped in for Sean Payton in New Orleans. I mean, he went 5-1. And when Drew Brees had his wrist injury and looked so great and was just it was the perfect system for him. Now, New Orleans has lots of great pieces around them, and they have a fantastic coach in Sean Payton.
I feel like Sean Payton could scheme me to be a great quarterback. Or let's put it this way.
Hey, I've seen you. You're good.
All
you
right.
got the stuff.
All right, let me make an even bigger statement. He may even be able to make a scheme that makes Jameis Winston look good.
Oh, now you're
now I'm really stretching it.
Now you're stretching it. Yeah.
Jameis absolutely. With his fingers out of his mouth, throwing the football.
Jeez. The 30-30 guy.
No, I'd love to see Teddy get into a good spot.
Me
he,
too.
Of course, is one of these great comeback stories as well. Had that severe injury while with the Vikings, has worked his way back. He had his big chance here in Carolina and obviously wasn't able to sustain his growth and win that job. So it'll be Sam Darnold's to lose.
Well, and Carolina didn't have a lot. They need pieces. I mean, McCaffrey was out for most of that season.
Yep.
And, you know, Greg Olsen isn't there anymore. And, you know, they need pieces for sure.
Well, going back to Jimmy G, the amazing thing to me, of course, San Francisco now has given up a ton of draft capital to move up to the third spot in the draft. They are going to draft a quarterback.
Two future first rounders.
Yeah, I mean, they gave up a lot to get there. So they're certainly going to draft a quarterback. Jimmy G probably needs to be traded. It would be a strange locker room to have both Jimmy G and this new young hotshot, whomever it is, Mac Jones. Well, you know what will be fun to do? Next segment, we're going to get Dan Shonka here. Dan Shonka, of course, is of Our Lads Draft Guide. And Shonka knows everything about what's going on in the draft. We'll ask him who the 49ers will be taking at number three. Will it be Mac Jones? They're going to go see Justin Fields. And then what the Falcons will do with the number four pick, which is very interesting because they could take QB4, the fourth quarterback off the board, or the best position player, or trade back. I mean, those are all great options for them. It'll be Dan Shonka. We'll ask him those questions when we return here on the Boston The Gloss.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
in the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. Okay, we're going to be joined now. We're going to go out to the Progressive Insurance guest line and be joined by Dan Shonka. He's of Our Lads Draft Guide. It is the Bible for the NFL draft. Dan, welcome onto the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Good morning, and that's quite a pair to draw to, you two.
Well, we are looking forward to visiting with you about this NFL draft. Let's start right at the top. You've got the Jets supposedly going to take Zach Wilson, the 49ers with the number three pick. Who do you see them taking?
Well, you know, I've been a Mac Jones guy for quite a while, and, you know, that – I mean, it's a fit, and sometimes, you know, you like Justin Fields because of his athletic ability and things, but, you know, and Trey Lance, I've been fortunate to see him live a year ago, and he's a terrific talent that just doesn't have a big book around him, but, hey, who knows? He may be the best of all five, you know, top quarterbacks in a couple of years. But I think that the 49ers, for what they run and what they want to do, you know, I think that Mac Jones is that fit because of the quick synapse from his hand, you know, from his brain to his hand, gets that ball out. He's not afraid to challenge defensive backs and linebackers. And I think that, you know, he's the guy for them right now.
You know, you bring up a good point with Mac Jones, Dan, that, you know, that's who Kyle Shanahan likes. I mean, those are the type of passers he likes that stay in the pocket. So, but they are going to Justin Fields' pro day, which they didn't attend the first one, so that'll be interesting. Do you see anything changing with Shanahan and John Lynch attending the pro day for Justin Fields?
Well, you know, Kyle Shanahan's, I mean, he's very consistent. That's what makes him such a great play caller and things, and I think that Justin Fields is really going to have to wow them, you know, for them to move off of Mac Jones, because I think that they know what they want. And I mean, hey, this is like this in any sport. You know, you're looking for a fit for your team, and they see Mac Jones as a fit right now.
Well, we're talking to Dan Shonk of OurLadsDraft.com. I want to ask you about Kyle Pitts, a generational tight end. How high does he go? Could he go as high as number four to the Falcons?
He could. You know, the crazy thing about him, though, he may slide a little bit because he's one of our top three or four players in this draft, and he warrants going up there. And but with all these quarterbacks, and you know how crazy teams get, they just lose their minds, you know, when they're talking about quarterbacks. And you know, Atlanta may take a quarterback to have Ryan, you know, be the guy for a while, and then they'll have a guy like Justin Fields to be ready when, you know, Ryan moves on. So, but that being said, you know, that's certainly a consideration. Somebody may trade up for him at four if they really like him, you know, that much. You hear those crazy rumors out of Dallas. I doubt if they do that, but Jerry Jones has done stranger things.
Love to ask you about the Cowboys, because the cornerback class is interesting, and most people think they would take a cornerback at number 10. Is Caleb Farley still in play at number 10, or has his back surgery led him to drop into the latter part of the first round?
I think he's going to drop, and it may be a little farther. We got him at the top of the second, you know, after these injuries he's had. Of course, he opted out last year, but he is a terrific talent. So, you know, some teams are going to say, hey, as long as they're, you know, physicians have passed him on the recheck physicals and things like that, yeah, he could probably go in that middle to late. But, you know, some teams had him the top cornerback on the board. So, but those injuries, I mean, if you're not banged up going in the NFL, you're going to get banged up there. And if you are beat up, but boy, you just don't want to bring a guy in that's already had, you know, a couple different surgeries.
And sticking with the quarterback stand, how do you rank, who would you take over the other, J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain?
I tell you, Patrick Surtain's our top corner. Now, one thing about J.C. Horn, you know, it's kind of funny. Both those two, their fathers were both NFL players, and they know what it takes to play in the NFL. They're talented. J.C. Horn is a scrappy, nasty, tough corner that teams, you know, have fallen in love with. I mean, he just, you know, he goes after every wide receiver like they took his mama's pocketbook. You know what I mean? He is just a really tough, physical guy. Surtain is just smooth, and he sees everything that's happening. He can wrap around a wide receiver, slap that ball away. So, you know, it's again, it's horses for courses. What your coordinator wants, which one's going to go higher, but we've got Surtain, and then we got Horn second.
Okay, sounds good. Let's take a look. I'd love your thoughts on Micah Parsons, because here he is, this versatile linebacker. He can play in the middle, he can play on the outside. Excellent pass rusher. Are his character issues going to drop him in the draft? What are your thoughts on Parsons?
Well, I'll tell you, Carla, I don't know how much. I think, again, it you know, there's 32 teams out there, and it's like Baskin-Robbins ice cream. Everybody looks at stuff different, you know. And I'll tell you, I wonder anymore if character's even in the mix. You know, sometimes if, you know, yeah, the more talent a guy's got, the more that character kind of slides down a little bit, you know. And, but anyway, Micah Parsons, he's a 1.5 year player, basically. Opted out this year. 2 years ago, he was a warhorse. I mean, sideline to sideline, he can step up, fill gaps. He can run with the, you know, stick him out there on a slot. He can run down the seam with a tight end. You know, a pretty good coverage guy. He still, you know, would have to elevate a little bit more. And then, of course, you know, being out a year, he's going to be a little rusty wherever he goes. But he is a tremendous talent and the top linebacker in this draft. So, and with the way systems are anymore, it's 4-2-5 basically. So you got two linebackers in there, and one's got to be able to cover, you know, or both of them got to be able to cover, but one of them's got to be able to, you know, match up out there in the slot, and Parsons can do that.
We're talking to Dan Shonk of Our Lads Draft Guide. So one mystery to me is the Patriots at number 15. I can't believe they're happy with Cam Newton at quarterback, yet none of the top five quarterbacks will likely fall to 15. What are they going to do at 15, and how do they address the quarterback position?
Well, you know, I think this, that, you know, Lightning's not going to strike twice there. I mean, they got super lucky on Tom Brady, and because Brady is a rarity that when I actually, Tom was in my area there at Michigan when, I was scouting there for the Eagles. And, the thing, and, you know, I had interviewed Tom and worked him out and everything. The thing that was even overwhelming then, it looks so easy now, but he was ultra competitive, you know, beyond belief there. I mean, Lloyd Carr had some stories you wouldn't even believe that I visited with him about on Tom. I gave Tom a fourth round grade, so I missed him too. But anyway, all people at New England will tell you that, you know, they threw a dart up on the board and that's how they got him. They had no, reservations about this guy is going to be our next great quarterback, but so it's not going to happen, I think. But what the Patriots may do, and I think it's still a little high for him, and everybody gets high on Davis Mills and all that stuff, from Stanford because he's only played 11 games, but he may be a guy they may take in the second round and, you know, put him out there and develop him and see what happens. But I think that if they don't go that route, they're looking at a corner, you know, at 15, and it could very well be a guy we already talked about, J.C. Horn.
We're talking to Dan Shonk. I've got about a minute more. Love to ask you, how many running backs will go in the first round, or will one?
Yeah, there's going to be a running back go. I could see two, and you know, somebody may get real excited about Javonte Williams at very violent runner from North Carolina. Now, we got him at top of the second, but Najee Harris is our top running back, and then we got Travis Etienne as our second running back. So, you know, I think both those guys will be a lock in there for the first round, but Williams could actually sneak in there, or somebody could trade back up in first to get him.
That's Dan Shonka of Our Lads Draft Guide. Dan, where can people get your draft guide? It's the Bible for the draft.
The fans can go to our website at ourlads.com, OURLADS.com, or give us a phone call at 1-800-PRO-DRAFT, and we'll get them fixed up. They go out next week. We're getting still pro day stuff in and getting it in the guide here. So fans can still get in there and get it ordered, and we'll get it out to them next week.
Awesome stuff. Thanks so much for joining us.
You betcha. Thanks. Anytime, guys and girls.
Thanks, Dan.
to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for their spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, tools, brake kits, and more. Kick off the season right with fresh batteries for your lawn and garden gear. For a limited time, purchase any SuperStart lawn and garden battery and get a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate. Don't miss out on the savings. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Okay, one of the fascinating things, remember it wasn't that long ago, maybe 90 days ago, I think it was Adam Schefter speculated that there might be as many as 23 new starting quarterbacks with teams that would happen this offseason.
Crazy.
Now, that's not really going to happen. It won't be 23.
But we're moving towards a big number.
But we're getting toward a big number. Yet there's still a bunch of teams that just cannot be happy with whom they've got as their starting quarterback. I mean, the Redskins have Fitzpatrick, and he's a good placeholder.
Right.
But nobody envisions that Fitzpatrick's going to take you to a Super Bowl. And they have a lot of good pieces in Washington. I mean, that defense is very stout.
I love Fitzpatrick's comment that every game is a rival game. He's played for literally every franchise.
That is.
That was look, perfect attitude.
He's the right guy to have in your locker room.
Yes, he is.
He is a guy who can really play well for a long time. He would be my favorite backup quarterback because he can come in and win for a few games if your starter is injured and needs to sit out for a few games. But I just think the Redskins need to trade up.
Well, think about it. The Redskins can't decide on a name, let alone you think they're going to be able to decide on a quarterback.
Right.
I
still call
them. Let's call it what it
is. Right. Forgive me. The Washington football team.
Washington football team. That's right.
And, of course, the Patriots, they've got Jared Stidham on the roster. They've got Cam Newton on the roster. But we saw last year, I mean, Cam Newton didn't have a lot of pieces. But look, the Patriots this offseason, they've got a lot of players coming back from the opt-out that will help out that defense. The headline being Dante Hightower, the great linebacker. And then offensively, they have upgraded, particularly the tight end position. They picked up two great in the free agent market.
Mm-hmm. They've been busy in free agency, the busiest team.
But Cam Newton, they've got to get to a better quarterback. Jimmy G looms. Is that still a deal that will happen? Very intriguing. 49ers likely to take Mac Jones number 3 overall.
Well, you know, going back to New England quickly, we just got off the phone with Dan Shanka of Our Lads. He's, as you say, the draft Bible, which it is incredible. He mentioned Davis Mills coming out of Stanford,
yep.
Which Davis Mills did have a fantastic senior season, and he's been kind of in the wings behind KJ Costello, did have a great season. And Bill Belichick, I will note, he likes Stanford guys. I mean, he loves the football intellect that they bring because he drafted Jordan Richards, the safety out of Stanford, undersized for the position, but several years ago took him in the first round at number 32. And I think he really does appreciate the product he gets out of Stanford. So I wouldn't be totally surprised to see, I love that Dan brought that up, to see a Davis Mills, you know, to be behind Cam Newton or compete for the starting job. That's not totally out of the question for a Bill Belichick type of player.
Yeah, and so Dan Shanka had him going in the second round. The Patriots probably wouldn't have to invest the number 15 overall pick, and that might be a good spot to pick him up. Broncos have Drew Luck. Drew Locke.
They hope it's Drew Luck.
But little Andrew Luck would solve their problem in a heartbeat, wouldn't it?
Super great for the Broncos.
I mean, this
that was a team that was interested in Deshaun before all this mess. So I think they've got to do something. Yes.
And Steelers with Big Ben. I mean, they've got to find a successor.
Sure.
Then the Bears. Well, they've got Andy Dalton. That's a placeholder. And the Lions sit there with Jared Goff. So I know when.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because you were saying teams. You mentioned earlier teams in need of a quarterback and you listed the Lions as one of them. And I feel the way you do. I'm not sold on Jared Goff, but boy, they gave up a lot for him. That was quite a trade. And, I mean, what are your thoughts on him? Do you think that Jared Goff, how do you think he's going to do in Detroit?
Well, I think he was a throw-in in the big Matt Stafford deal. So when I look at Jared Goff, he's a guy that failed in with the Rams.
Sure.
He didn't get the contract renewal. He was taken at the top of the draft and didn't get the renewal. That is a signature failure, right? That the Rams would not do what they did again. And the Lions now are getting a cast off, and that's not really the future at quarterback. So I put them
with
on
a
the
big fat contract.
That's I put them on a list of teams that still need quarterbacks. All that said, there is a great quarterback out there that has been rumored to be traded, has demanded a trade in Deshaun Watson. Now, there's all kinds of new news since his first initial demand. These teams still need him. What do they do? Is Deshaun Watson now untradeable? Is it one of these places where you really can't trade for him until you know the outcome of all the cases, all the civil? I mean, presumably what will happen is there'll be a whole bunch of, through the civil lawsuits, there'll be some kind of settlement, and then the NFL is going to render some kind of punishment. The NFL's justice, of course, is outside the criminal justice system.
Yes.
Roger Goodell can do anything he wants, and that would presumably include some suspension. Maybe it's 4 games, maybe it's 6, maybe it's 8, maybe it's a whole season. But to trade for him now, you don't know what you'll get next year. You don't know how many games he'll be able to play.
You know, that's a great point. And I think going back to Dan Shanka last segment, when asking about Micah Parsons, and who's got some character issues.
Yep.
And he said, I don't really know the character issues matter
right.
in the NFL. And, you know, that's a sad statement, but a very true statement. We're looking at Antonio Brown catching passes in a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Don't get me started there. You know, so, I mean, obviously Deshaun Watson is facing some very, very serious allegations. And what I'm confused about by the NFL's inaction is exactly that. There is a commissioner's exempt list for this very situation where he can be put on it while the legal process plays out. Because you're exactly right. The NFL does not need to wait for due process or criminal charges. He can be placed on that list. It will allow him to be paid. It will allow him not to play. And so then the question mark is answered, you know, for these other teams. I don't know. I think that would be best for all the parties involved. I'm not sure what the NFL is waiting for. I do think it's really strange that the NFL has said these allegations are, quote, deeply disturbing, and we take these issues very seriously. Well, then what in the world are you doing? Do something about it. And I mean, we live in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty. So obviously a process needs to play out. I know right now that Rusty Harden, Deshaun Watson's attorney, is in court this morning. He's got two court cases today to try in an emergency hearing to try and get Busby's Circus to release the names of some of these victims, because it is illegal in the state of Texas to just have Jane Doe's, 22 Jane Doe's. Now, two women have come out and spoken and released their identity. So there's still a lot going on in this case. You know, you think you know someone. I want to believe the best about Deshaun Watson. I, as a fan and someone who has loved him since high school, have to literally sit back and wait for this to play out. It's disappointing. And I don't know what this means, but you know what? If I look at history in the NFL, they don't really care what your character issues are. Antonio Brown's on a field. Greg Hardy played for the Dallas Cowboys. There is so – Ben Roethlisberger, no issues. I mean, come on. Like, it's crazy that character doesn't matter.
Kareem Hunt, so on. Oh, you can go down the list.
Tyreek Hill, good Lord. I mean –
Right. I guess what they care about is whether those character issues affect your ability to play, your performance on the field. If you're going to get suspended, well, that really matters, because then you can't contribute to the cause, the win. And so the real value problem is probably not, well, the teams aren't looking at it. To your point, the teams are probably not looking at it thinking, I don't want a guy who gets aggressive in the massage room. The teams are probably thinking, I don't want a guy who's going to be suspended for 8 games.
Right. Not for this season, but you know that you can also look at it and say the Texans are a laughable organization. Seriously, not only in the NFL, but in all of professional sports, I have never seen an organization that's run so poorly. And they're like, this is our chance to get a Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame quarterback on the cheap. Because, and we may not need him this year, but we're going to have him in because he's coming off a 4-12 season because of all the bungling and mismanagement of the Houston Texans. And he managed to have his career highs in every category, led the league in passing yards, was absolutely outstanding with nothing around him, basically. And so that's very attractive. And if you can get that, if you don't have to give what was once being talked about, 3 first rounds, a second and a fourth, you could get him for, I mean, a lot cheaper now. Why not pick that up? Because it's going to be done at some point. He's going to be back on the field at some point. So take it.
He will be back on the field, and yeah, some team might get him on the cheap. I mean, from the Texans' perspective, nothing has gone right over the last 18 months.
And do you know what's happened over the last, who has been entrenched in that organization for the last 18 months that really wasn't before?
You're going to Jack Easterby.
I am going there.
Well, now, what's his title with the Texans?
I don't know where it is now.
I think for a little window.
Director of Disaster, because he's done that extremely well.
Right. So Jack Easterby, of course, came in. Bill O'Brien brought him in. He was from New England. They had met there. He was going to be the guy who helped with character development, helped the players grow up, be mature, good citizens in the community.
That's not working for you
and
now,
keep them
Jack.
Out of ugly situations. Irony of irony. And then, of course, when Bill O'Brien, the general manager and coach, was fired, Jack Easterby became the acting GM, and then Easterby was instrumental in bringing Nick Caserio in to serve as the GM. Nick Caserio, his friend from New England. So now it's Caserio a GM, and Easterby as the counsel, the consigliere, I guess, is
and
the advisor to all.
Can't be fired by Caserio because Caserio owes him one bringing him in at
right.
the GM position.
Right.
You know, also, there's so many developments that are happening with Deshaun Watson, but this week he was suspended by Nike and Dr. Dre and Reliance.
So no, he's lost a ton of endorsement dollars. Some estimate about $3 million a year.
And it does say suspended, not eliminated.
Right.
So, you know, that's probably pending all of that too. But yeah, the Texans have not done themselves any favors for the past 18 months. And this whole debacle, what they could have gotten for Deshaun, and, you know, nothing surprises me with the Texans. But if they think they have been eerily quiet, I would have expected them to come out and say, we are shocked by these allegations. This has been our upstanding leader in the locker room and this and that. But they are so bitter that he doesn't want to be part of this circus over here on Kirby Drive in Houston that they're letting this play out. They're like, look what's happening to you now. You're not going to get out of here okay.
Well,
and they're hurting themselves in the process.
No, in hindsight, they should have traded him 90 days ago when he was 100%. At peak value, a top three in the league quarterback that would have gotten an extraordinary haul and could have reset the organization.
And then had this come out, it's not the Texans' problem anymore.
Mm.
But they have once again bungled it.
Well, it looks like we're on track to have Tyrod Taylor to be the starting quarterback of the Texans, because Deshaun is likely to be suspended at the start of the season, even if he is still on the Texans roster, although that all remains to be seen. Okay, when we come back, we're going to take one last look at Jimmy G, where he will land. What uniform will he be wearing next year? That coming up next here on the Boston The Gloss, the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And when we were going to break, we were noting that there are a bunch of teams, Redskins, Patriots, Broncos, Steelers, Bears, Lions. They all need a quarterback. Really, they need an upgrade.
Lions and Bears, oh my.
All of them. And you've got Jimmy G and Teddy Bridgewater available. Deshaun Watson looming in the shadows. We will see what happens with him. Jimmy G strikes me as the better of Teddy Bridgewater, but only by a little bit. And really, it depends upon whether he's healthy. If he's not healthy, well, then, of course, I'll go with Teddy. But Jimmy G, if he is the best quarterback who's likely available right now, do you see him going back to the Patriots? Do you see the Patriots wanting to get him back? I mean, they gave him away for a second-round pick, which isn't huge value for a quarterback. But they now need a quarterback, and they had a close-up look at him. I mean, and by all accounts, Belichick didn't want to trade him.
I was just going to say, you said they. He, as in Robert Kraft, gave him away for a second-round, traded him away for a second-round pick.
And with that being the perception that really, Belichick was seeing the end of the Tom Brady era, wanted to hold on to Jimmy G for the future. Now the end of the Tom Brady era has happened for the Patriots.
In a really ugly way. I mean, meaning he turned around and won another championship.
Right.
It wasn't an ugly departure. I'm just saying it did. It really backfired on them big time.
But Jimmy G's going to be out there. So I don't know what the price tag looks like. It was a number two pick back then. If anything, his stock has probably come down a little bit because the 49ers have chosen to reject him, right? They've decided he's not worthy of being their starting quarterback when they have a lot of good pieces on that team. In fact, they traded up, they gave up all that draft capital to go and entrust themselves and all that talent on that team to a rookie. So that suggests that Jimmy G ought to be worth very little at this point. I heard that they were asking for a number one pick. Why on earth would anybody think that they think he's worth a first-round pick, given the fact that they've made all these decisions that suggest they think of him as not very qualified? They think of him as a backup quarterback.
Well, and you know, you've now seen, you didn't have the chance really to see in New England the issues that he has with injury and not being on the field because he backed up Tom Brady, who's never injured.
Yeah, Belichick didn't have to deal with that injury problem. Right.
He didn't, but you've seen it really highlighted in San Francisco. He has been off the field more than he has been on the field, you know, missing a whole year with an ACL and then all kinds of things. So I think your best ability is availability. That would be the question mark. That would make him much cheaper than a first round pick.
All right, when we come back, Paul Pierce, NBA legend, has a job offer.
He does.
He's been fired from ESPN. He's got a new opportunity. We're going to take a look at that when we return here on The Boss and the Gloss.